Welcome to MR Explorer, the podcast. I'm Zee Johnson. I want to talk about following up on some things from my first episode of this podcast, where I talked about digital nomadery and how that led me to wondering about how we are or are not doing research that is inclusive. Inclusive meaning making sure that we're actually capturing the people who we want to capture, which generally speaking is general population. But if general population is changing, what are we doing to make sure that we are capturing that population? I'm actually going to touch a little bit more on that today. The next thing that I wanted to actually follow up on was the piano piece that I finished my podcast with last time. I didn't realize that I completely missed explaining how that piano piece actually tied in with the rest of the podcast. The piano piece is called Gitanerías, which is Spanish for gypsies. And the reason that I decided to play it is not only because I really enjoy playing the piano, it's one of the things that I've done forever and just love doing, but also because as I was talking about digital nomads, I was thinking about that piano piece and just the thought of the modern day gypsy. We've gone from wagons to Airbnbs and people being able to live off of Bitcoin and having non-physical, virtual physical addresses. That's actually why I played that piece. There was a tie-in. It wasn't just me deciding to do an all-out, here's everything that Z can do kind of show, which unfortunately may have been what it sounded like I was doing. All right, so today's topic. I took a little time off because there were so many things that I wanted to talk about. And then honestly, I ended up with a lot of self-doubt about whether or not this was worth recording and whether or not there any of these topics that I was considering was actually going to be interesting. And then I had a discussion with a couple of people at work about trend. And I suddenly got very, very interested and thought this would make a really interesting podcast episode just because it ties a little bit back into the inclusive research topic of doing research that actually captures the audience we want to capture. But it also touches a little bit on one of the first things that had come to mind as a topic for the podcast, which is why is it that we as market researchers tend to seem, on the whole, to be reluctant to adopt new technologies? This industry can seem like it's moving at a much slower pace than the rest of the either technology or even at times society. So what I want to do today is actually go through a little bit of a timeline with you, because as I was thinking about this, and I actually recorded this last night, but it ended up being a little rambly and didn't quite hit on exactly what my thoughts are on trend and why we don't want to break it. And so today, as I was thinking more about it, I realized that in my mind, when I'm always thinking about why should we break trend and what is it that we can use as market researchers with our clients, or if you're already on the client side with your clients, your stakeholders, on why do we need to break trend for these multi-year studies that have existed for quite some time. So bear with me as we go through this exercise, because I think you'll find it rather enlightening. I definitely found it enlightening as I started to map out over time the changes that have happened, the adoption of technologies, and then mapping that alongside where it feels like market research has been and our approaches to doing market research. Let's start 15 years ago. 15 years ago, we lived in a very different time. Amazon.com was still, for the most part, a bookstore. There was no Amazon Prime. It was not the, if you can't find it in the store, you can probably find it on Amazon that we know today. There was no Airbnb. The idea of the share economy had not really kicked off. In fact, I don't think it had kicked off at all. When I looked at when some of these share economy companies started, I don't even think the idea of a share economy had been around. we were in a time of iPods and MP3 players where we were interested in how many songs could we actually put onto any one of our MP3 players to go and listen to at any time that we wanted. We were still looking at porting cell numbers between cell companies. So your cell phones, we hadn't really gotten quite into the smartphone ubiquity that we have today. I remember at least the idea that of porting your cell phone number over was just getting to be common. So different time, different place. Where were we in market research? Well, if I look at least in my career 15 years ago, market research had just started moving and working with online surveys. So we were taking the same surveys that had been done on paper, done by phone. Those were still pretty strong methods of collecting feedback, collecting information. And in addition to that, we were starting to work on doing this online survey thing. And I remember one of the first online, this is actually how I started my role in market research, was by helping to program online surveys. And I remember the question types were pretty simple. The software itself was pretty simple. The analysis that you could get from delivering the survey was also pretty simple. They were being delivered via email, at least the ones that I was doing, I remember, were all internal to the company. And so it was working with the database of employees that we had in order to create our sample that we were going to send out the survey to. So online surveys, still fairly new. That was 15 years ago. And again, this is coming from my experience. Now let's jump 5 years, 5 years forward, 10 years ago. So in that time, we had Twitter that launched. We had Facebook that launched. And so the social media sphere was pretty nascent, even 10 years ago. We didn't really have the cloud computing as we know it today. Amazon Cloud actually launched in 2006. Zune, I remember, was still a thing because 10 years ago was when we moved to the Pacific Northwest, and I remember knowing someone who worked in the Zune team at Microsoft. PCs were still the main type of computer that were used. I remember having still towers that we used at our desktops with the laptop that you could plug in and dock to your desktop. But primarily, I remember desktop towers were still pretty prevalent as the primary type of computing device that was being used. DVRs like TiVo, they were pretty hot. Smartphones, I remember getting my first smartphone about 10 years ago. And I remember being so impressed with the number of apps that I could get. I remember there were no group apps. I don't even remember Facebook being on the phone quite then. I might be wrong. But they were getting to be big. The iPhone was pretty standard. If you were going to have a smartphone, it more than likely was an iPhone. But still fairly new in that entire arena. Where were we with market research? Well, from what I can remember about 10 years ago, I remember being in operations at Microsoft for a study that was being done via phone. We were still primarily using phone banks to conduct this global study. I remember the customer relationship management system that we had still had lots of issues with the way that we were getting information into that system, which of course meant issues getting information out of that system as well. But even having that database was, if I can remember, it was still fairly new. The idea was there, but I don't remember Salesforce, and this is one that I should have looked at but didn't, but I don't remember if Salesforce was newer 10 years ago. Certainly not quite as ubiquitous as it is today. And side note, ubiquitous is today's term of the day since I seem to have used it twice so far. All right, so I remember we were still doing phone surveys, and I remember the surveys really hadn't changed all that much from what I remembered having programmed when I started programming surveys 5 years prior. there was a little bit more logic involved, but skip logic was still kind of new, especially for doing phone surveys, being able to make sure that we were getting people down the correct path. We had the computer-assisted telephone interviewing systems, so CADI was a thing. And that was how you could do the branching, at least in a survey. But I remember one of the times that we were updating the survey, we started looking into, oh, hey, why don't we use some logic and route people better and let them skip certain sections? So again, this is from my experience. The whole online thing hadn't really caught on yet. It was still very much doing phone surveys on landlines. Now let's fast forward another 5 years. 5 years ago, where were we at, generally speaking, as a society? Well, cloud computing was getting bigger and it was growing. Microsoft Azure launched in 2010. We had streaming services for music. We had Netflix and Hulu. Hulu, I found out today, is 10 years old. So the whole idea of streaming movies, streaming television was still pretty new. And this, keep in mind, this was just 5 years ago. Smartphones were certainly better and faster, had more memory. We were long beyond the idea of, can I fit more than 256 songs onto my iPod? Now we were using our phones to store our music. You didn't have two separate systems. And so if you were running and working out, you had the armband typically or some kind of carrier for your cell phone instead of an iPod that you would clip to your shirt or your shorts. Also, tablets were introducing more mobile computing options. In that 5-year period that I could see, there had been a transition from the desktop towers to a more laptop focused and now entering into the age of the iPad and the tablet, which was introducing more mobile computing. It was still fairly light, not quite the robustness that we have today, but it was an introduction. Where was market research at that time? Well, we were starting to work on having mobile-friendly surveys, having surveys that would show up well on mobile devices. We didn't really have as wide a diversity of question types that I think we have and that are more commonly used today, such as sliders, some of the dynamic dropdowns. I think we had dynamic dropdowns, but there were definitely some things that were still coming that were newer in terms of having online survey platforms that led to a DIY aspect of the market research industry. So 10 years ago, most market research was still being done by large companies. They were not being done by individuals who were able to get an online software as a service type of thing, like a SurveyMonkey or Qualtrics or a QuestionPro. But 5 years ago, those were, SurveyMonkey was pretty well known. To use the word of the day, SurveyMonkey was actually fairly ubiquitous. But we were still working. So while the rest of the world pretty much seemed to be moving towards much stronger presence on social media, a much stronger technological base in terms of having streaming content available, streaming movies. Airbnb is 9 years old. Lyft is 6 years old. Uber is 9 years old. Netflix only started streaming 11 years ago. So still 5 years ago, those, I feel like that's when things really started to pick up in terms of the availability and how common it was, or ubiquitous it was, for people to have these streaming services at their disposal. And yet here we were in the market research world starting to look at, maybe not everyone is going to be taking a survey on a PC. We were already in the age of tablets. They were starting to come out. Cell phones were already getting much better. And here we are as market research starting to, I think, fall behind the curve. Now let's take a look at today. Today, even compared to 5 years ago, I feel like is so dramatically different. We have the share economy is fairly standard. Airbnb, VRBO, places that you can use to share the bedroom that you have empty in your house for someone to come and spend the night instead of hotels, instead of bed and breakfasts even. We also have Uber and Lyft now, which are fairly standard for instead of taxis. And there has been a lot of that push and pull that we have felt in the economy in terms of, or at least in that economy, of industries being disrupted by these newer types of approaches. We have shared offices for freelancers. Even I think 5 years ago, freelancers, that was starting to become a thing, having shared office spaces. But certainly not like it is today, where now if you're a freelancer, you can go find a spot somewhere, one of these shared office buildings where you can network with a bunch of people. You can have your startup meetings for startup companies in these shared office spaces. You don't have to go and look for your own space somewhere else like you used to before. We have WhatsApp, we have Snap, we have Instagram. Social media is definitely very strong. It's woven into our society. We have streaming content on our mobile devices instead of just being able to watch a Netflix movie at home or a Hulu movie at home or now Amazon streaming at home, Amazon Prime TV. You can be watching those things on your mobile devices at the same high definition as though you were watching it at home, is just on a smaller screen. We have AI, machine learning, neural networks, which are enabling this Internet of Things, which means that now we have appliances and we have things at home that are contributing information into the internet, out there to the internet. We are able to now control devices remotely using our smartphones. We can control everything from locking our doors to turning on a thermostat for heat or cooling. We have internet enabled refrigerators, where I think if I remember correctly, there is at least a few options out there for having refrigerators where it keeps track of what you have in your refrigerator, what you have been purchasing, what you've been putting in there, what is getting low, and you can have it automatically start to go and deliver these things. We also have more presence of these specialized delivery systems. So Uber Eats, for example, is fairly new, where you can order from a restaurant and you can just have it delivered to your house. We have boxes of produce delivered to your house. You can have pretty much anything delivered to your house on a monthly basis, it seems, from craft ideas to science experiments to do with your children to wardrobe elements to you name it. You can have a recurring service that delivers that thing to your door. As opposed to 15 years ago, still quite the, even 10 years ago, the prevalence of needing to go physically to a supermarket to get your groceries. Now, most places you can do that online and have it delivered to you. We have the electronic assistants, Google assistants, Alexas, Cortanas. We have these things on our phones that anytime we need to have a little bit of information, we can just go ask and have the information told to us, which has, I think, changed a lot in terms of the way that we engage with each other, the way that we are able to, even our children are able to get information much more readily. Where are we in market research? Well, we're still, again, this is my experience, because I know that there are differing levels of where different companies are at. We have certain companies which are creating and have created these automated platforms where you get your survey, you send it to them, and it's a very quick turn. It's programmed, it's fielded, it's information collected and report automated and delivered to you in a very quick turnaround, where you can do ad testing that way. Like there's a specific set of questions that go around things like ad tests. We have smarter, some places are doing smarter sampling. But for the most part, what I can see is still a struggle to have mobile-friendly surveys. This isn't even talking about mobile-first surveys, just surveys that work well on a mobile device. We're still, as a whole, not doing good market research. We still have long surveys that are 25, 30 minutes long, if not longer, that we are using, which show up best on a PC. So we're still living as though it's 10 years ago where people had desktop towers to take their surveys. Granted, they might be online. That's great. At least we have gotten that far. But where the rest of the world is living, literally living off of their cell phones, smartphones, using their smartphones to manage their homes, we are still trying to get surveys that will render well and have device consistent surveys where no matter what device you're taking it on, the survey is going to act the same way. We are still in market research trying to figure out how we are going to marry our data together so that we can put the behavioral data with survey data, with attitudinal data, put them together to have better insights. Because of that, the surveys that we offer today seem to be stuck in the world of 10 years ago, where we have as a society so many more people who are adopting AI into their homes, who are using, we have the digital nomad. I mean, we have that ability of being able to be a digital nomad where you don't have to have a physical address. I talked about this in the previous podcast, but the frameworks are there. And yet we are still stuck in an era where Zoom was still a thing, where PCs were the main type of computer used and people were using TiVos. Now, why are we stuck there? That's a really great question. And I think a lot goes into that. I think there is the fact that we do rely on trend. We want to be able to make sure that the data from 10 years ago, we can still compare to data today. Data from 5 years ago, we want to be able to compare to data today to see how behavior is changing over time. However, if our survey methodology doesn't keep up with the adoption of technology that our audiences are experiencing, I argue that trend isn't going to matter because you are trending against an audience from 10 years ago. That is your basis. And I think that is the problem with trend. I think the problem is that your trend is based on what your furthest point of data point is back in time. That's your basis. And that basis likely has changed over time. If we don't move our surveys and we don't create the arguments with our clients and with our stakeholders, with the people that we are working with to break trend on surveys, we are going to constantly be getting a skewed version of our audience, and we're going to be making business decisions on limited information. We're not going to be getting the engagement that we need from younger survey respondents. We're not even going to be getting the engagement that we need from older survey respondents because they are going to be getting tired of these super long surveys. More and more, I would argue that our panelists who are willing to take those surveys are not the people that we actually are likely seeing in the stores. If someone is on their PC taking a survey for 45 minutes, I would argue that that person falls outside of the bell curve. They are not necessarily your traditional person from today who is spending minutes on their cell phones and getting bored after 10 minutes with these grid questions that you have. This is a thing that you can tell I get very passionate about. I think we need to, when it comes to adopting new approaches, new technologies, new methodologies, when it comes to that time where you will need to say, we can either continue surveying the way that we've been surveying, using the same questions, with the same methodologies, with the same platforms, going after the same people, or we can decide that we are going to change our approach so that we can meet people where they are at. We need to get comfortable making that argument with our clients. We need to get comfortable, more comfortable standing our ground and saying that if we continue doing poor survey practices of long surveys that are not mobile not even mobile friendly, let alone device consistent, that are super long, we are going to be having data that is coming in that is not going to be representative of the general population that we actually want to hear from. All right, that is the end of my thoughts on trend. I would love to hear your feedback. You can find me on Twitter at ThonTheory, that's ZONTZIRY. You can also find me on Facebook, MR Explorer. And you can find my blog, MRX. The first three letters are just MRX. And then the last part is Plorer, so mrexplorer.com. And shout out to hashtag MRX, which I learned today is, I believe, 10 years old as of July 25th. Thanks for joining me. And I look forward to sharing thoughts later about going back to the basics, because I think if we go back to the basics, we can solve a lot of our issues in terms of having inclusive research and having really spectacular market research that is going to get us the information that we need from the audiences that we intend to get it from.